Hey, before we dive into today's interview, I want to say that I have an awesome giveaway that just launched. mtgprotutor.com/giveaway is where you can go to check that out. It is a fully stocked tournament bag ready to go. All you need to do is just add cards. There is a Pirate Lab carrying case, a Steel Commander deck box, and tokens, and brain snacks, and all kinds of really fun things for you to take to your next Magic tournament. So if you want to dive in on that, go to mtgprotutor.com/giveaway, sign up, you will get one entry, and then you will get two entries for every person you share it with. So feel free to sign up for that, and good luck!
Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Hello and welcome. How are you today? This week has been a whirlwind. I had a blast at San Diego Comic-Con with my sister. It's always fun to go down there, see the cosplay, just be around that whole environment. I love it. My sister and I went as Officer Hops and Nick Wilde from Zootopia. Let me tell you, I make a cute little bunny. Just kidding, I was Nick Wilde. But today, I am in Utah for my cousin's wedding. We had to skip out on a few days of Comic-Con to fly up here to be with my cousin. I'm so happy, so proud of him. His name is James, and my son's middle name is James, named after him. So this cousin's like a brother to me. I'm so excited to be up here for his wedding. And I'm just so blessed that this summer I'm able to travel around and do lots of fun things with family. And I hope you're doing the same. I hope you're spending time with friends and families, doing the things that you love to do, not least of which I hope is Magic. I'm really excited that we have this game that can bring us together on so many levels. Today's guest is the youngest guest that we've ever had on MTG Pro Tutor, and it's just so amazing that I get to connect with a 16-year-old and hear his story and share it with you. I mean, how cool is that? But before we dive into that interview, I do want to say I'm wrapping up the MTG Pro Tutor opinion poll. It'll be closing out tomorrow, and I am so grateful for everybody who has already gone and given me your feedback. It really means the world to me. I love making content for you guys. I got into doing the podcast, obviously hoping it would be a thing, but I've really, really come to love connecting with you and helping you level up. And this is one of the ways that I can make sure that I bring you exactly what you need to get to the next level. By tapping into what you're struggling with and what direction you think we should go, that's how we can make MTG Pro Tutor the best it can be for you. By sharing your advice with me, by giving me your opinion at mtgprotutor.com/opinion, you let me know what you're struggling with and what direction you think we should go so that I can continue bringing you high-quality content each and every week. So once again, mtgprotutor.com/opinion is closing down tomorrow, so head on over there if you haven't already and tell me what you think. Well, I can't wait to bring you today's guest story. Like I mentioned, the youngest guest we've had at MTG Pro Tutor, so let's bring him in and dive right into what he has to say. What is up, everybody? I am super pumped to have our guest with us today. Our guest is an Indianapolis area Magic player who has been playing competitively since Innistrad, Return to Ravnica Standard, and on and off since M10. He generally plays on the Star City Games circuit and has had reasonable success there. However, he does have one Grand Prix top 8, including a Grand Prix win. Clocking in at a whopping 16 years old, let's welcome the one, the only, Clay Spickelmeyer. Clay, how you doing today?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, we are so excited. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take their game to the next level?
Of course.
Excellent. So let's dive into that right now. So what do you have going on other than Magic? I mean, I'm assuming Magic isn't all you do. Being 16, you probably have school and stuff like that. But tell us, what do you have going on in your life?
Let's see. I'm going to be a junior in high school in the fall, and I run track and cross country for high school.
That's awesome. What distances?
For cross country, they're all basically 5Ks. And then track, I run the 800 meter.
Excellent. That's so incredible. I love it. And, well, I mean, for those of you who don't know, Clay is now officially the youngest guest we've had on the show, being 16 years old. So it's so cool to see young people just doing so well in Magic. I mean, winning a Grand Prix, that's incredible. Having good results in the Star City Games circuit, that's great. How do you do school and Magic? I mean, right now we're in the summertime, so you can do, you know, more Magic, I'm assuming. But when school is in, how do you manage all that?
I mean, we have to put school first, obviously. My parents don't let me do Magic stuff unless my schoolwork is up to snuff. So sometimes it can be tough, but you really just have to, you know, use your time well. And I have enough time to do both.
Good. And it's so great that you are doing, you know, so well. I have no idea, but is this kind of building up a college fund, or what are you kind of looking as far as doing well in Magic?
Yeah, I mean, college fund is nice. It's too bad they got rid of the Junior Super Series. That would be pretty nice.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I mean, I haven't really decided yet.
Well, good for you. And you'll be off to which pro tour?
Honolulu.
Okay. Very neat. When is that?
I believe it's like the second weekend in October.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Because we have Sydney coming up soon here. And then a couple months after that, we have Honolulu. Great. Have you ever been to Hawaii before? Or this will be your first time?
No, this will be my first time.
There you go. Starting the whole travel the world thing. Love it. Absolutely love it. So we love diving into the story of our guests. We love hearing where you came from and then learning from that journey. So the first story we want to hear is how you got into magic. If you can take us back to the very first time that you saw or played with the cards, what was that story like? Tell us, and we want to be right there over your shoulder.
Okay, so it was, I believe, 2009. It was right before M10 got released, and I was hanging out with my brother over the summer because my parents had to go to work, and my brother was, he was in high school. And he just taught me how to play, and I loved it, and I've been playing Magic ever since.
What were some of those first decks or cards, or what set was that first that you came in on with your brother?
He taught me with cards from, like, 10th edition, I think. So my favorite card in the beginning was Crawworm, and then once I discovered that blue was the best color, I graduated to Cancel. That was my favorite card for a while.
Love it. So 10th edition, just hanging out with your brother, playing. So overall, then, what is one of your favorite cards?
Right now, probably Electrolyze.
Ooh, so for those of us who don't know what that is, what is it? What does it do, and why do you like it?
So it's one blue red, and it deals 2 damage as you choose, divided among 1 or 2 target creatures and or players, and then you get to draw a card. So it's just pretty sweet value. It's like never bad. Sometimes you can get random 2-for-1s or 3-for-1s, and my favorite color combination is probably blue red. It was really good in my old favorite modern deck, which was Twin.
And along the same lines, what's one of your favorite sets?
My favorite set is probably Innistrad. When Innistrad was released, right after that, I started playing competitively. And the cards are just all really sweet. The flavor's nice. It was a really fun set. Drafting it was also great. It's probably my favorite set to draft.
So as you've been playing, you obviously didn't start out winning Grand Prix. What was an early challenge that you struggled with, but that you eventually overcame?
I used to play very, very quickly, like to the point where if I saw that I had plays available, I would just do it and not really think. And if, you know, that works sometimes, but really what helped me the most was like slowing down, reevaluating board states and positions and what role I should take, like every turn, you know, stuff like that.
And what makes Magic fun for you? Like back when you started playing, what was fun about Magic?
Let's see. Like, it's just a really fun game. It's very deep. You can constantly be learning things. It's also a good competitive outlet. I'm a pretty competitive person. You know, I like sports, and Magic is another one of those competitive things you can do with your time.
And is that still what makes Magic fun for you today?
Well, I've made a lot of friends through Magic, so it's kind of an excuse to hang out with them. And also, you get to travel to events and play competitively at a high level. You know, it's just a lot of fun.
So how do you be competitive in Magic and still have fun? Because this pops up so often when I'm talking with, you know, listeners and things like that. And even guests, they say, hey, remember, it's a game, like play, have fun. But obviously, like you, we're all competitive. Like we want to play. We want to get the most out of the game. We want to improve because we have this desire of mastery inside of us, you know. But we also need to remember that we need to have fun. So how do you do that? How do you be competitive and still have fun?
I guess the biggest thing is like not getting too invested in your like individual results. Like, everybody goes on hot streaks, everybody goes on cold streaks. Just because you lose doesn't mean you're a, you know, awful player. Approach it as, like, a fun hobby as opposed to something that you base your entire system of self-worth on.
So true. I really like that. And, yeah, especially just because you lose doesn't mean that you're a bad player. Like, keep that in mind, Prodigies, because it's going to happen to all of us. You know, we're going to try really hard and practice and then show up and just not do well. You know, and sometimes that happens. And like you said, Clay, just don't hang your entire self-worth on your Magic results. And
Yeah.
I mean, you can definitely do worse for yourself for sure. So everybody has a unique journey full of highs and lows as they go through playing Magic. And your unique story is made up of your best and worst moments. And I want to dive into your worst Magic moment and what you learned from that experience.
Okay, my worst Magic moment. So I was playing in a PPTQ a while back, and I was in the finals, and it was game 3. And we have a very good board state with lots of creatures and some planeswalkers and some mana up, cards in hand. And my opponent has some very large... He's playing a blue-green ramp deck, and I'm playing a green-white tokens deck. This is a couple months ago. And my opponent casts Displacement Wave for X equals like 5 or something, which bounced my entire board, and his creatures would be able to attack for lethal. But what I didn't realize was that Displacement Wave also bounced his board.
Oh, no.
So I conceded the game and the tournament very prematurely when I could have had a decent shot to win.
Oh, no.
That was pretty bad.
Wow, yeah, I can, yeah.
Kind of like a you-need-to-read-the-cards kind of moment there.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what was your big takeaway from that? Read the cards? Or, like, yeah, what was your big takeaway?
Yeah, read the cards. My opponent's deck was not the most competitive. I guess you could say it wasn't an established archetype, and it was playing some cards that weren't exactly optimal. So I guess I kind of got a little overconfident. I don't know, yeah. And then I just didn't read what the card did and conceded before I should have. So that was pretty bad.
Did he know that it was going to bounce his stuff, or did he miss that as well? Oh, so what was his plan? He was just kind of trying to reset?
I guess. I mean, he was dead on the crackback, so he kind of had to do it. And I guess he could be hoping that I was a big dumb idiot and didn't read the card, which I didn't. So, because he just said, like, Displacement Wave, and I'm like, that's the one that bounces everything, right? And he said, yeah. And so I picked up my cards, and I'm like, wait, you have a bunch of power, so I just conceded and didn't think through everything.
Wow. Yeah, I've had issues with not reading the cards as well, and like the only thing that I can think of to kind of get around that is just pick a match that you're going to play, whether it's casually or FNM or whatever, and just say, you know what, this match, I'm going to read every single card. And I did that one time. So somebody played a Monastery Swift Spear. I know what it does, but I said, man, I read it. I took it. I read every single word except for the flavor text on the card, just so I can, you know, kind of rebuild that habit of getting used to cards, because so often we do that. We're like, oh, you know, we see the picture and it triggers in our mind, oh, okay, that's the card that bounces everything, right? But we miss the everything part, you know? And so that's my takeaway from that experience, you know, read the cards, and then to practice, just, you know, say, hey, this game, I'm going to read every card. And it could be any game that you're playing, whatever. So that's the advice that I would give out to prodigies as to how to apply this to them. Do you have any next steps or takeaways for them that they can use?
That seems like a pretty good tip. I think that's a good idea.
So the flip side of our downs and our lows are our highs. What is your proudest Magic moment to date?
My proudest Magic moment is definitely winning the finals of Grand Prix Columbus. It was a pretty epic finals. Played against Joe Lissette, who's a very well-known Miracles player. And I'm playing Infect. And Infect generally has a pretty good matchup against Miracles, if you don't know Legacy that well. But I was losing Game 3 very badly. He'd just been like a step ahead the whole game. He had the answer for all my threats. You know, he had like 3 swords to plowshares for my creatures. He had the pithing needle for both my Inkmon and Xi. It was not going well. But one turn, he taps down very low for a card called Back to Basics, which makes sure that all my non-basics can't untap. And we end up casting an Invigorate and a Becomeimence and a Berserk on my Noble Hierarch. And I crash in for 22, which is not the normal way to win with out of an Infect deck. But, you know, that was definitely my high point for Magic.
Oh, that's awesome. Definitely. Oh, that's so cool. Got there and on such a, like, an unconventional path, like, totally, like, scrapping it out and fighting and earning it. That's so cool.
Yeah, that was the only game that I won with regular damage the whole tournament. And I played, like, 17 rounds. So.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What did that feel like, that moment that you cracked in for the win?
It was pretty crazy. I was pretty certain that he had the Flusterstorm. He had one mana up, so he didn't think that it was going to work. But there's no reason not to go for it, because if I let him untap with a Jace, I'm just going to lose the game anyway. But he didn't have it, and I was pretty happy about that, you know, because we won. I don't know. I don't remember it that well. The day is kind of a blur, but it was pretty surreal. You know, winning a Grand Prix is something that it doesn't happen all the time. I'm, you know, probably not going to win another one.
Hey, don't say that. Don't say that. That's not true. But I love what you said there about you were pretty sure he had the answer, but you would have lost, you know, if he untapped or whatever. So this was one of those times that we hear about, because we hear all the time about, you know, playing around cards, but then you know, not playing around stuff if you can't do anything about it. And this was one of those times like, hey, I have to go for it now. If he has it, he has it. So you're basically forcing him to have it, right? Because if he doesn't have it, you really didn't have any other options and he was going to come right back and win, you know? So that this was a perfect opportunity.
Yeah. It's also one of those situations where if he had the Flusterstorm, eventually the Flusterstorm is going to be great, so I can't beat it anyway. So it's better to just play like they don't have it, because if they do, then I'm going to lose the game regardless.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, sounds like you evaluated the situation obviously perfectly, and you made the best play in that situation, and it got you there. And that is so incredible. Now, you know, you have a Grand Prix win on your title. You're off to a pro tour. Like, that is amazing. So, congratulations. That's such a cool story, and we just love it. Absolutely love it.
And, yeah, thank you.
Oh, Legacy. So, what up with that? Like, how did you get into Legacy? I mean, the format's probably older than you. So, how'd that work out?
It started off back when Star City Games held their Legacy Opens. I watched the coverage from a lot of those. And then there were a bunch of people around my local shop that had like spare Legacy decks. And I would just, you know, borrow those and play them against people, learn what kind of strategies I enjoyed the most. It's not one of the formats that you can just pick up and expect to do well at, because there's, you know, you need to have a good knowledge of the format before you go to like a larger event. But I learned that I like the tempo archetype, like the Delver decks, the Infect, you know, that style. And so I've just been playing those ever since. I've played a couple classics. Those are like the Star City smaller, like 200, 300 person events. And I've done well at some of those. So I've gotten some experience and some confidence there. And, you know, you just play a lot and eventually you learn the format pretty well.
So do you own your own Legacy decks now?
I don't, no.
Oh, you still borrow? That's cool.
Yeah, I own Modern Infect, which is like around $1,000 short of the Legacy version. And I'm looking into purchasing the Legacy version now with my Grand Prix winnings.
But of course, why not? That's so
for
cool.
The last few months I've been borrowing because I don't have a huge amount of money to spend on Magic, you know.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, but that's great that you have that outlet.
Yeah, and I've only been like legally allowed to have a job for like a month because I just turned 16 at the end of May, and you can't have a job before 16. So,
oh my gosh, that is so crazy, and I love it. And like we were saying, it's just so neat that you have a support system, a network, a play group that you're able to borrow these cards from and borrow these decks from and go off and do, you know, great things and that's just, you know, that's how many people are. And so you can, all you projects out there, you can take encouragement from Clay and his story that, you know, you, by building good friendships and a good network, you can participate in and do well in these big events, even though you don't physically own the cards yourself. You know, it's all about just being responsible and, yeah, just making good friends. I think that's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
I was just going to say the Indie Magic community is pretty great, and I've made quite a few friends in the community, and a lot of them have decks to borrow. So you can just, you know, be nice to people and go to your game store, you know, talk to people. They don't bite.
So you've played, obviously, a lot of Magic in lots of different formats. You did, you know, Legacy, you just mentioned Modern, and so you've seen lots of lines of play and just played against a wide variety of people. What's the biggest mistake that you've seen players make, and then how can we avoid that mistake?
I think generally people just sideboard very poorly in basically every format. In Limited, I don't think people sideboard enough. A lot of people that I've talked to don't even get sideboards for Limited decks. They just, you know, stick their unused cards in their, you know, box or whatever, and then sleeve up their 40. And I think Limited is, you know, if your opponent's deck has a bunch of 2/3s and you have some Grizzly Bears, you might want to cut the Grizzly Bears for, you know, Hill Giants or something. Just stuff like that. In older formats like Modern and Legacy, I feel like people sideboard too much. In a deck like Storm or Infect or anything, people just over sideboard and dilute their decks too much, so that they just, like, they're trying to play around what their opponent's going to be doing, but you're just, like, Affinity is another one, and you're just diluting your own game plan so much that you're not going to be able to beat them even if they don't have the hit cards, because you're stuck with a bunch of, you know, narrow sideboard cards in your hand that don't do anything.
So how do we get past that? How do people get over the sideboarding mishaps that are so prevalent?
I think a lot of it is to just, like, talk to people about what they do. Talk to people that are better than you are. That's one of the things I've done. You know, people have helped a lot. After a match, if you're playing against someone better than you are, lay out how you sideboarded, explain your choices, ask them what they thought, and then see what they did. You can learn a lot from your opponents, and at places like FNM or even at Opens, your opponents are generally pretty nice about that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good feedback.
Yeah, just like sitting down for like 5 or 10 minutes after a match, if it's not the end of the round, and just talking about, you know, any critical decisions during the match or sideboarding choices, any of that. You know, if it seems like your opponent is in pretty good spirits, then doing that can help both of you out.
Yeah, that's true. And kind of turning that lens inward on you, what is something that you're working on? What's one of your shortcomings as a Magic player, and how are you trying to improve yourself?
Right now, I think when I get ahead, sometimes I manage my resources pretty sloppy, and I give my opponent extra draw steps or extra outs to things that if I'd played better when I was ahead, then I could have just shut the door. But when I get ahead, I get kind of, you know, just start playing more quickly, feeling like the game's in the bag, you know, and really I could have maneuvered the game to where there's no series of draws that my opponent could have to have them win. And instead I, you know, give them extra percentage points that I shouldn't have done. So I'm trying to work on that, you know, play more deliberately when I'm ahead, think about like, okay, how do I lose this game? Cause right now it looks very good, but just constantly asking, you know, how am I going to lose this game? Or if you're losing by a lot, you know, asking, okay, how am I going to win this game? And playing not just to buy time and not lose, but actively trying to craft a path to win.
Yeah, dang, that's good. And that's good that you recognize that and that you have an idea of what you need to do to shore it up to get there. That's great. And to dive in a little deeper on that, as you've played Magic and gone through this, you know, experience, what's the deepest thing that you've learned about yourself from playing Magic?
That's a tough question. I'm not really sure, honestly. I don't really know. Give me some time. We can come back to that one.
Sure. So where are you on pro points now after winning that Grand Prix?
I believe I have 8 for this season because the year just started and like that was the second Grand Prix, I think, and I don't have any other points.
So do those points count for this season or next season?
They count for this year. They count like until, I think, like August, maybe.
Yeah, it's Pro Tour Sydney.
Yeah,
is the last time to get points. So the Pro Tour that you're going to will be for next season. That's not bad. That'll set you up with 3. Pretty good. Pretty good. Maybe a good springboard to get to the silver next season. That's not bad.
Yeah, probably not going to happen this year. I know I'm going to a couple Grand Prix, but I don't think. But with no Pro Tours, I would have to like, you know, win another one to get silver.
Yeah, no kidding. You mentioned blue-red earlier, but if you were in Ravnica, what guild would you belong to?
Probably is it.
Yeah. Cool, very cool. It's kind of fun to hear, you know, how people identify with these different clans and tribes and guilds and all the cool things that we have in Magic, so it's pretty fun. What would you say, Clay, is your best or your favorite format?
Probably Legacy. I think I know the format pretty well. It's where I've had the most success. And I just really like casting Brainstorms, honestly. The card's just so, so good.
So good. Excellent. So we've talked about it a little bit, but what would you say to a brand new Legacy player? How would somebody break into the Legacy format? Let's go talk about it a little bit more than what we have already.
I would say start off, like, watch a lot of coverage. The commentators are usually pretty, you know, friendly to people. You know, they explain things pretty well. So you don't need to have a great knowledge of the format to be able to get stuff out of coverage. And just, like, start playing. You need to get games in against all the top decks. And then just try to find something you like. And after a while, you'll know the format well enough. Try to watch videos of, like, streamers or, like, Star City people playing the deck that you want to play. That's what I did.
I mean, that's great. Like, watching the coverage and then starting to play. As far as, like, resources to learn, where do you go? And what resources do you recommend that we can link up to in the show notes?
Star City Games is pretty great. They have some good articles. Channel Fireball is also pretty good. Those are the big ones. Some of the Magic GP streams, if Wizards decides to cover them, then you can watch those. The Star City Archives for opens. You can go to, like, some... The MTG Salvation and MTG The Source, like, wiki and forums are pretty hit or miss. Sometimes they're great, sometimes they're awful. But if you check out, you know, your deck stuff on there, sometimes those can be helpful.
And when it comes to, like you said, start playing, you know, it's obviously playing is the biggest part of how we get better. How do you get the most out of your playtest sessions? So when you were getting ready for GP Columbus, for example, and leading up to that, how much Magic were you playing? What were you doing? Was there anything like methodical? Or were you just jamming reps? Like, what does a good playtest period and a good playtest session look like?
I didn't actually playtest that much leading up to GP Columbus. The school year was just ending, and I had finals that I needed to study for. So, and I'm on like a year-round calendar, so we just got out like at the end of May. So I really only tested for Columbus in like the week leading up to it. And I'm pretty lucky to have lots of friends that play Legacy. So basically what we did, I already knew how a lot of the matchups played out. And I had a good main deck 60 that I liked. So really, I just get games in against the matchups that you feel like you don't know how they play out. Like once you know how a certain matchup plays out, you're not getting that much out of continuing to play the games. Like you might learn small things, but you're much better off trying to play against the matchups that you either haven't played against a lot or don't feel very good about, and try to get maybe a sideboarding strategy that you like there. Another really helpful thing is if you can have a friend like watch you play, preferably one that's like better than you are, then you can have them after the match explain, you know, write down the things that they would have done differently or the things they disagreed with. And you can go through that with your friend that's watching and your opponent who you're playtesting with, so you probably know pretty well also. And you can get better that way. That's a lot more helpful than just, you know, jamming game after game after game and not really... You shouldn't focus as much on the results as, like, how the matchup feels and the different things that seem important, like the different approach you could take, and not so much care about who wins, you know, 67% of the time or, you know, whatever like that.
And on the note of having somebody watch you play, do you play in person or online? If it's in person, you guys all get together and one person literally just stands over your shoulder and watches, or do screen capture and then go over afterwards? Like, how does that actually play out?
I play Magic Online quite a bit. Sometimes I like Skype with a friend, screen share that, so one of us can play and the other one, you know, talks through everything. That's pretty good. And then in person, one of the things we like to do is do basically like a two-headed giant. So one person plays a deck and they have a friend next to them, and your opponent plays a deck and they have a friend next to them. And you basically just play pretty slowly and talk through all the major decision points with the person that's on your team, basically. That's a really nice way to help everyone out. Usually the team of two people will find the right play, so the games generally are fairly competitive. And also it just having someone to bounce ideas off of, or sideboarding strategies, you know, any of that is just always pretty helpful.
That's awesome. That is actually really, really cool. I think very useful. They're basically the same thing, whether it's online or in person, but having two people pilot the one deck and, you know, one of them being kind of the, you know, the better player, the expert on that deck or whatever, and just kind of sharing the insights and helping the other pilot go through. I can see how that'd be very, very valuable. I look forward to, you know, trying that myself for sure. That's super cool. So we've kind of gone through your journey in Magic, kind of rising up and how you play test and off to doing bigger and better things. And I want to wrap it back around to the beginner players. Like, so we have people who are coming into Magic all the time, and they come in on whatever happens to be intro decks or whatever, and some of them, you know, want to move up to be competitive. They want to start going to Friday Night Magic and then Grand Prix and whatnot. What would you say to these brand new players who can't afford the most popular decks or to draft every day online? There's so many people that I talk to that love Magic, but budget is their main thing. Like, how can these players break in and start being more competitive?
I mean, as far as budget goes, I would say the number one thing is to just, like, not buy packs. And just set aside some amount of money, you know, every week, every month. And eventually you'll have enough to, you know, buy singles and buy the deck that you want to play. And until then, you can, you know, borrow decks. You can watch people play. You can play various budget decks. You know, there are a lot of things people can do. And then once you do have a good deck, you can either stick with that. You know, Magic cards are pretty liquid. It's not super hard to trade things around. If you don't know that you're going to like something, don't invest too much in a deck that you haven't played at all, because if you don't like it, you just spend a bunch of money on a deck that you don't enjoy playing, so that's not good.
Yeah, I totally second your call to not buy packs. Save up the money. The money that you would spend on packs, save it, and then buy singles, you know, and then test before you invest, you know, like, there's so many ways you can proxy, you can borrow, you can do so many other things to practice and to test these decks before you go out and invest in them and buy them. And I definitely recommend it. I think that's a great way to get started. And, you know, maybe slow at first, but hey, you know, everybody starts somewhere. And if you don't want to break the bank, then these are definitely good suggestions on how you can improve on a dime. So as we pull into the home stretch before we run into the last few questions, I want to circle back to what you've learned about yourself from playing Magic.
Okay. I think I've really learned that I have the most fun doing everything when it's like working with other people. So when I started playing competitively, I didn't have any team. I didn't know a lot of people, and I didn't really enjoy it that much. It was fine, but I wasn't winning a lot. I don't think I was really getting better, and I didn't have access to play the decks that I wanted to, and it just wasn't great. But as I, you know, branched out into other stores, I met a really great group of people, and that's helped me to grow as both a player and also made great friendships with people, and that's just really how I enjoy playing Magic the most. I mean, it's great to, you know, the game and the competitive aspect, but I've really learned that I enjoy just hanging out with friends and using Magic as kind of an excuse to do that.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And do you have any activities that you feel help you get better at Magic?
I used to play chess a lot, and that's helped me to, like, you know, think turns ahead. In middle school, I played chess pretty competitively, so that's definitely helped pave the way. Magic's one of the things that you just kind of get better at without really realizing it too much, so just playing lots of games, you know, it's kind of one of those things that just happens naturally.
Sweet. Love it. Absolutely love it. And when you travel to an event, what do you take with you? What is in your tournament bag?
I don't travel to events that often. If I am traveling to an event, it's generally like a one-day thing. It's pretty uncommon for me to travel to an overnight thing. But for like day trips, I bring like money for food, my deck box, some extra sleeves. I don't like to bring a lot. Water is great. Some dice, playmat, if the store doesn't have the tables with the mats on them. That's about it. Bringing too much can like open you up to get stolen from or just clunk you down when you really just you don't want to be walking around with a duffel bag full of stuff. You don't need that much.
What card sleeves and what deck box do you use? Do you have any favorites or just kind of, whatever?
I use KMCs if I have a double face cards and Dragon Shield mats if I don't, generally. KMC is also better for double sleeving. So for like Legacy or Modern decks, which I generally double sleeve, I use those. Deck box, I just basically use whatever I have lying around.
Yeah. Super cool. Super cool. So what is one last parting piece of guidance you have for us? Either something you've already said you want to emphasize or something new that you'll want to leave with us here at the end.
I would say like the number one thing people can do, I know I've been kind of hammering this home, but I think just getting a good group of people, ideally some that are better than you are, and just, you know, hang out with them, do regular playtesting sessions, you know, bounce ideas off of each other. That's like the best thing you can do to try to get better.
Clay, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to the multiverse, and thank you so much for your time and for sharing your expertise. You are a hero among planeswalkers, and it has been a blast chatting with you. May you always draw what you need and depart every plane victorious.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Clay, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us today on MTG Pro Tutor. I learned a lot. Prodigies, I really hope you did as well. As always, you can find the show notes at mtgprotutor.com/Clay Spickelmeyer. That's Clay Spickelmeyer. He was a Grand Prix champion. How cool is that? It doesn't matter how old or how young you are, you can play Magic and you can do well. Speaking of doing well, you'd do well to share your opinion with me. Okay, that was a bit of a stretch, but I am wrapping up the summer opinion poll that I like to run. You can find it at mtgprotutor.com/opinion. Share your advice with me on what you think we should do next. I love connecting with you, hearing what you're struggling with, and then delivering content to help you address those needs so you can really take your games to the next level. You can take down that FNM, you can day two a Grand Prix, you can make top eight and get onto the Pro Tour. That's what I'm here to do, help you make your Magic goals. And the first step will be sharing your advice and opinions with me at mtgprotutor.com/opinion. Thank you to all those who have already done it. I read each and every word of every single response, and I'm going to wrap it all up and use that information to really step up the offerings that MTG Pro Tutor has from here on out. So thank you to all those who've done it. Thank you in advance to all of you who are about to do it. And I wish you the best of luck incorporating these awesome new cards to your standard deck as you go out and play Friday Night Magic and other events. I can't wait to see what new decks shake out with this new set thrown into the format. I, for one, will be at Grand Prix Portland, and I hope to see you there. If you are going to be there, let me know. We are going to be having a meetup. It's going to be awesome, and there'll be more information on that to come. So go forth and do great things. I'll talk to you next week. Until then, I'm Sean of the Gathering, and we'll see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery, be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.